Sun and Bowie J.
Hi, Jess. It's Bowie.
What's up, Bowie?
Yes. How are you? I mean, I know I spoke to you today, but...
Yeah, we worked out today, but since then, I'm sorry that I'm actually a little bit late to the podcast right now because I was setting up my electronic drum kit that I was so excited about getting.
Yes, because we're still in isolation, quarantine. So yes. Jess is trying to work out ways to practice at home without annoying the neighbors, right?
Yeah, well, and mostly also just I don't want to annoy my brother, sister-in-law, and girlfriend who I'm quarantined with for, you know, I don't know how long. So it's already been a month, but so got this electronic kit. So I just got it set up. And
it's funny because I was asking Jess, oh, so what was it just before we got on? What was the kit like? And she's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. We'll talk about it on air. And then I'm like, oh, my God, are we becoming like radio hoes where we only talk to each other when we're on air?
Like we're going to be those friends that are like, we're just never going to talk to each other. And like when we're not recording, we'll be like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
We
like,
don't want to waste this. A conversation.
Yeah, this has to be got to do this while it's on air.
Yeah, I'm like, quick, like Kardashians, actually. Quick, record, get the camera in.
Oh, yeah, we're becoming radio whores. Jeez.
Yeah. So anyway, tell me about this kit. What did you order? I mean, I don't know anything about drums.
For drummers out there that are potentially going to listen to this, I mean, hopefully you can understand or like relate to this feeling of I don't normally play electronic drum kits. Like I don't really enjoy, like I want to feel an actual drum kit, and the feeling of an electronic drum kit compared to like a real drum kit is – it's just not the same. You don't get that same feeling. And it just feels so like almost like I'm playing like Rock Band kind of. Like, you know, like when Rock Band came out and had like the drums that you could play like for like a video game. It kind of feels like that. But I think it'll get the job done. I should say that. And I should just be lucky that I have one. I don't know why I'm complaining about it. I just wish I had my real drums.
So this is for practice, right? It'll be enough for practice.
Yeah, honestly, it's just I think the whole thing was like I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day and he brought up the idea. He was like, if you don't have a kit, like why don't you – people are going to think I'm so cheap right now because I'm going to just say what I'm actually doing. He was like, why don't you just order one from Guitar Center and you can return everything to Guitar Center after 45 days, anything. So it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm just going to buy a drum kit and then return it after 45 days. Hopefully we'll be out of isolation by then too. So like,
you'll probably just keep it anyway. You'll be like, 3 months later in isolation, you'll be like, oops.
Honestly, I'm also the type of person who's going to be like, oh my God, this is like way too much effort to try and like repackage this and return it. Like I'm just going to end up probably keeping it because I'm too lazy to like figure it out.
That's where those policies are good. Like the reality is if you like it, you're going to keep it.
Yeah, no, it's true. And
if you don't like it? That's what it's there for.
And you know what's actually like even better about this? So it's normally 45 days, but I looked on their website because I wanted to make sure that I could return it, whatever, like making sure that was all still true. And because of coronavirus happening right now, they extended the return dates to 180 days. So I could keep this for 6 months.
Wow. That's crazy.
What, yeah, because all the guitar centers are closed. You know what I mean? So they're like, oh, we realize that it would be hard for people to like try to return anything. So like if you have a product of ours, like you can keep it for 180 days before you return it.
Wow, that really is amazing.
I mean, so actually good on Guitar Center. Just because I like them, I might actually keep it so like they can keep my money because I feel like it's really nice of them to do that.
Yeah, oh, that's good. And what when you say you're not really liking it because of, you know, like will you get used to it?
I think it's just a matter of getting used to it. It's like anything, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, this isn't normally what I play, but like I'll figure out how to make it work. Like I can still use it. And obviously I literally just got it out of the box right before we got on this podcast. So I haven't played around with it enough. It was just like the initial sitting down and kind of like feeling it and being like, this doesn't feel like my drum kit. But, you know,
is there, that's just me being a lag at all? Or it's pretty
There's fast. Like a tiny bit of a lag. And that's the other thing with electronic kits. And like, obviously I didn't get the most expensive one. I'm not like rolling in money. Plus I'm not making any money right now with this all happening. So I'm like I didn't buy like the top end, like the very top electronic kit. I kind of got one that was like, you know, like just like good enough to get by. But if I were to actually invest in one, like I would have gotten probably a way better one. Cause this one is like just enough to get through this, isolation period, I guess.
And so what, you plug it into the computer, do you need a program or or like GarageBand or Pro Tools?
You know, you can. Like it can. It's, to be honest with you, I'm just gonna have to play around with it more. But yeah, it has like, you know, all these different features that, like, I mean, it has Bluetooth and it has like a USB port, so I can at least plug in like my computer and like I'll be able to track things with it if I wanted to, playing and practicing to try and, you know, make sure I don't suck after I come out of isolation.
Actually, that's what I wanted to ask you, for like drummers who maybe they're upcoming or they're at home or whatever, even kids, like what do you do to practice and how long would a practice session go if you're not gigging?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm a little guilty of not practicing as much as I should. But when I was like growing up, I guess I'll just say like what I did when I was growing up to like try and get like, you know, to get better for myself.
Yeah.
Cause I had been seeing a drum teacher for a while, but like for me, it was hard for me to like sit and learn like rudiments and like technical like things that were just on snare drum. I really wanted to like engage in like the full kit and actually play beats and stuff. So I kind of just ended up teaching myself by listening to bands that I loved and songs that I loved and forcing myself to just learn songs and playing along to them.
That's cool.
So yeah.
That's because, a good way to do it too, because then you're like at least enjoying what you're playing. I mean, same with DJing. You just play songs you like. That helps.
Right. It's more fun that way, right? Like, and I understand, obviously, like I'm not bashing like seeing a drum teacher or like learning to read music. That's amazing. I wish that I still could. Like I started off doing that, but since I decided not to go that route, like I can't really read music anymore. I just kind of play by ear and by feel. And I think for drummers, that's still important though. You want to be able to play by ear and feel, because it's almost like kind of robotic if you're just sitting there reading something and trying to play along by like reading the music. It's kind of like just feel it. So
So when you start playing with it, like if a new band approaches you, do they send you the tracks and like what they want for drums?
They just send me the song. So like I said, for like obviously in the Somerset, I was writing my own drum parts, but most that was, you know, back then. So when I'm now playing with other people, it is, and a lot of times these artists I'm playing with are also like they're like pop where they don't have necessarily like real drums in the song. It's kind of like electronic sounds or whatever it is that it like, it mimics the sound of a drum, but it's not an actual drum or it's not an actual, so I have to like kind of interpret that and make it into my own kind of beat. It kind of just depends on like whichever artist. So yeah, they'll send me the songs and I kind of just like, I call it like studying, and I have to sit there and listen to the songs like over and over again and then kind of just figure out what I want to. Yeah, until
you know them back to front.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause it's not just like I can sit down and play a song and be like, I know it perfectly. It's like, you got to know the stops.
And a singer's ever like, hey, you're playing the drum part wrong. Cause I imagine a lot of singers wouldn't necessarily know how the drum should be going, really. I mean, they kind of know, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's... I think it just depends. I've definitely had singers that have had more, like, a say knowledge in what they want, like, the beat to be, or, like, the rhythm or whatever. If I'm maybe not doing it right, or they'd be like, oh, maybe try this instead. But then a lot of other times, like, with some of the artists I play with, they're just like, cool, yeah, that sounds great, you know? So it really just depends.
Well, you're good at what you do, so really probably you get there and you've studied it and you practice and they're like, well, that's exactly what we wanted, so it's fine.
Well, I still have a lot of work to do. I will say that. I think there's always – everyone can get better at their craft, you know what I mean? And even as much as I've toured and all this, I know that I can still get better. But thanks, Bowie. You're really good at making me feel good on this podcast. I think that's why I just like doing this, because you tell me really nice things every time.
Yeah, I'm racking up that Venmo bill there. You're going to have to
transfer. Exactly. I mean, I told you have to Venmo charge me, because I'm just going to forget. So just Venmo charge me for all the compliments and then I'll pay you.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, today we've got Allison Freed, who's a voiceover artist, which I think is so cool. She's also a singer. And we're going to chat to her. She's one of both of our friends and in LA. And I'm excited.
I'm very excited. I was listening to her her reels today on her website. And God, she just has – like she really is so – like her voice is so angelic. And like she's so good at what she does. I mean, she's worked with like all the crazy like top – you know, she's worked with Disney and Google, Netflix, like – Whole Foods, or anything, Starbucks, like everything you can think of, you've probably heard her voice. Like anyone listening to our podcast has probably heard her voice.
I listened to the reel and I was like, oh my gosh, that ad is her voice. Wow, she's done all the top brands. So it's pretty cool.
Right. Aren't we good friends? We were like, oh, I had no idea.
I know, how bad's that? We're like, look at the website. We're like, oh my God, she's won awards for everything.
That shows that we're good friends in the sense that we don't care about how successful or like we more so care about like if you're a good friend. It's like we don't look into like of course we want you to be successful, but it wasn't like the first thing we knew about her. We weren't like, ooh, she's very successful, like, so be our friend. I don't know.
No, we're like, oh, that's a nice added bonus that you're a world champion.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, it is Bowie and Jess here, and we have the wonderful Allison Freed, who's a friend of ours, lives in Los Angeles, and is a world-class, world champion, best in the world voiceover artist. Is that correct?
Damn, that is quite the intro.
Bowie's good at that.
Yeah, Bowie. Yeah, we were looking at your background. We're like, jeepers, you're like, and listening to your voiceover reel, oh my gosh, it's like every ad is your voice, nearly, not really, but close.
Like, I'm pretty sure, Allison, I knew your voice. Like, I've heard you before I ever met you. I just didn't realize
you've heard it. Absolutely, you've heard it like a million times without knowing it. And for those people that do know it, are like, dude, I'm like, you're everywhere. You're like, stop it. You're like, I'm in the shower listening to the radio, and it's like you. I'm like, haunting me.
You haunt everyone.
Yeah, like, and then sorry, you're like, not oh, sorry. Sorry to all my exes.
I was just going to say that's amazing because your exes are probably like, you can just haunt all your exes without even having to try. It's great.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm actually like really good friends with a bunch of them. And so like I would be like, they'd be in the grocery store and send me a video being like, damn you. Am I allowed to swear in your podcast, guys?
Of course. Yeah. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
They'd be like, fuck you. Like, I'm trying to get my groceries and you're like, your voice is coming in the goddamn grocery store.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, I had no idea. I was like, full on, like, those ads definitely recognize your voice, but did not know it was you. So that's cool.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, the real, like, what's so funny is that I'm, during this whole crazy time that we're in, my goals is to, like, actually have a new reel, because that reel is from, like, 2016. I've done a million things since then. So it's like, it's been quite a lot of stuff. So anyway, I appreciate you guys enjoying that reel, but I can't wait to update it.
And for those who want to see that reel, it's allisonfreed.com.
But Allison, I had talked about this with you a little bit before, when we were, I think we were hanging out going to some like yoga class or something at Set and Flow, but I was asking you about how you got into it, because I was like, how does someone even think about getting into voiceover, and like,
yeah,
like, what's that process like, and why did you do it, and when did you do this, and like, just tell us the whole like experience.
Sure. I moved to LA, like I told you, Jess, before. I'm sure obviously everybody knows Jess is a badass drummer. I moved to LA for music. I was in a rock band, and my rock band, we formed in like 2007, and then in 2011 we moved to LA. At the 2011 San Diego Music Awards, we were nominated for Best Hard Rock Album of the Year. And then it was fun. I mean,
you were singing, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yep. I'm a singer songwriter.
Amazing.
I moved to LA. I was super close to my grandmother on my mom's side, and she had cancer, and like, I went back to Belgium, and like, when she died and I came back to San Diego, I was working like a marketing job, and it just that changed everything for me. I was like, I cannot waste another day of my life, because like, I'm going to die. We're all going to die. Why would we be living a life that isn't what we want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I literally, like, my parents thought I'd lost my mind. They were terrified. I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad. So I literally, like, quit my job. I didn't even have a job. Me and my girlfriend at the time, who was the guitar player of my first band, My Illusion, we moved to LA to chase music. And, of course, we, like, did, you know, found, like, little odd jobs here and there. And, you know, and the music stuff was awesome. It was so fun. We got to play, you know, like a residency at the Whiskey. We got to play Viper Room, Main Stage House of Blues. Like, we just had a blast, but like, money wasn't coming in from that. Like, we were lucky to not have to pay to play, which was a big thing, you know, in LA.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, but it wasn't enough. We had what, five people in the band. So like, you get paid like $50, like, and then you're paying for, as you know, Jess, like monthly lockouts, all this stuff.
Right.
So long story short, like, you know, I just felt like I was getting more and more in debt, and I was working like four jobs and I was burning out, and I was like, I can't keep going like this. And I had no idea that voiceover was even a career. And my sister-in-law was the one that she told me about it. Like, they came over for Christmas one year. And I think this must be 2013, 20, 2013. And she was like, you know, have you ever thought about doing voiceover? Like, you already are using your voice for singing and as an instrument, and I think you have an interesting voice. Like, I also acted. Like, I'm an actor. I was acting in high school and stuff like that. So she basically played me people's demos from same thing that I like do when people want to get into VO. I'm like, well, this is what it is. I play people's demos of commercial or animation or, yeah, you know, and she was like, do you think you could do this? And I was like, what? Yeah, this sounds great. And she was the one that told me that people that are like really good at voiceover can make, you know, millions of dollars, and you can make your own schedule. And it's like kind of the greatest job in the world, because, you know, on camera acting is amazing and has a whole lot of benefits, but it's also so incredibly difficult and so time consuming, and you're in front of a camera. Whereas with voiceover, like, I'm doing it from my home studio, you know, and through this pandemic, it's been incredible, you know. So I basically, she sent me to people to like workshops to take and people to train with. And I trained for 6 months before starting to audition.
And then you, right after that 6 months, was it kind of like, it just all like started happening? Like, was it that simple for you? Like, it was just that, how did that go after that? Did you find an agent yourself? Did you get approached or?
Yeah. So one of the programs, and I did different stuff, but I also did Nancy Wolfson's Brain Tracks audio program. And then when you finish her whole program and you do a demo with her and everything, you automatically start getting auditions from the Stars agency. And they're my first agency. I'm still with them. Still, I've literally just talked to some of them today from bookings and scheduling it out. So they're my first agency, and I started booking right off the bat. Like, literally as soon as I started getting auditions from Nancy, I started booking. And then from there, I put myself on Voice 123. It's like kind of it's a pay to play kind of situation, but it's, you know, a good company, and I got a lot of long term clients from that. And once I started booking and doing sessions, then I started reaching out to other agents, and, you know, I went from one agent to like 10 agents throughout like the US and stuff, all over the US, as well as doing the online stuff. So I just like building it, and I got to one of the best agencies in the world from a cold email, which I love telling people, because you can do that.
It's always surprising when you get a response from a cold email. You're like, wow, that worked.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
How come now you're originally from Belgium, though you do not have an accent. So how long were you in Belgium for?
So I was born in Belgium and I lived there till I was 7. And when you're that young, like, I think it's like, whatever, 7 to 9 or something like that, or, you know, you actually can pick up languages so much easier, and you lose accents very easily as well.
Right.
So French is still my first language. I still speak it fluently. I've done, you know, a few VOs and stuff, but yeah, you lose your accent.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's impressive. I know as an Australian, I cannot get the American accent. I'd have to do some hard training.
You would never want to lose your amazing accent.
I know, Bowie. You really don't. Please don't.
It's only a novelty. Please here. Don't. It really, like, in Australia, I'm just like everyone else.
But so, here you are like the most special.
You guys go to Australia and you will be the most special.
I mean, I think you guys are more than special.
And so, like, you were doing the singing and then you were doing the voiceover to sort of support the singing, but you've got a band as well, right? And is that a new thing, Royal She Band?
Well, yeah. No, to be honest, when I decided to focus on voiceover, that, like, it's harder than people think. People are like, oh, voiceover must be so easy. You're, like, talking. It's not. And there's the competition is huge. So I completely stopped music. Like, it took a complete, like, bunch of years off. I mean, here and there I would, you know, like, jam out or whatever, but like I haven't played a show since 2014, I think. I miss it a lot, but yeah, so I definitely here and there have been, you know, working on new stuff. I do have a new music project that again, here and there I'm able to work on, which I am really excited. I actually, like, I definitely have some new songs that are I'm actually about to release them soon. So yes, music is starting to happen little by little again, but I definitely, you know, it's my biggest passion, it's my biggest love, but it had to take a major backseat while I just really focused on building a career and making money and being successful.
Okay, so Allison, I was wondering, you were saying that voiceover, like, a lot of people think that it's like easy and it's like quick or whatever, because I feel like I'm one of those people that would be like, oh, that sounds like an easy job. Run us through, like,
totally.
What's your day? Like, sometimes you're just probably recording like one line, and that could probably take you anywhere from, what, 30 minutes to maybe like 10, like, I don't know, a couple hours if you're not
doing. Yeah. I mean, so what I used to love to do was give myself an hour for auditions, like regardless of kind of how long. And sometimes even when they're shorter, you kind of take longer on it, which is counterintuitive. But they're receiving literally hundreds of auditions for like, so what's going to stand out? What's going to connect, you know, especially if it's actually short, it might actually take you like longer. But the situation now with where we're at with the, you know, pandemic with COVID-19, I literally can barely keep my head above water. Like, I have just connected with you guys. I ran out to like scarf down a tiny bit of food. I've been working nonstop all day, both bookings and auditions, like a crazy person. And yeah, just like banging them out. Like, I will get auditions that are like due ASAP. So like, you get them and you got to just send them right back. So whereas I used to love giving myself an hour of time, now it's like, I can't even keep track. Like, I used to be able to tell you like, oh, I'm getting 4 or 5 auditions a day. Like, now I'm like, I have no idea. I'm like in the studio, like a maniac, just trying to crank out my jobs and my auditions. And it's overwhelming. I mean, I know I'm so blessed because so many people are in such a difficult situation. So, I recognize that, but as I told you guys too, like, I just moved, so I'm like trying to do this and like keep my head above
juggling
water.
All these things right now. You just moved, and you're also getting like even more auditions than ever, which is amazing. But I could see how that could be like really stressful too.
Totally. So like,
and you've built a studio, haven't you? And you've got a new house with a studio. Is that right?
I'm in a new apartment, like a condo apartment in West Hollywood, and yes, it has a. This is the biggest upgrade since I started VO in numerous different ways. But like, in terms of the fact that I'm getting to do my work in a room that's a legit room versus like, it's always been a small, oh my gosh, I should send you guys pictures. It used to be like a tiny closet where I would be spending like, I would be spending my full like days and weeks and months like in this tiny closet.
Yeah, hilarious. If only they could have seen where you recorded it.
I have pictures, so I could totally send you. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, like where I started. So I actually started like when I didn't even have a closet to do it in. When I started like in 2013, whatever. And so the sound quality was crap. I was in like another West Hollywood place I was renting with my friend, and it was like just like out in the open, and there would be like, you know, cars driving by and stuff. So little by little, it went from that. And then when I moved, it was like this tiny closet, and then it was like a little bit of a bigger closet. And then like the last place I was at, you know, it was like a little studio room, but it was still very much like a, you know, closet.
And you've got a good mic, no doubt. I can hear it's a good mic.
Yes. This is a Sennheiser 416, which is like one of the two best mics that you can use for VO. Anything I do can go straight to TV, film, like, you know.
So radio. Yeah, I guess I want to ask that question too for people that aren't familiar with anything about voiceover. Are you recording when you say that you have the studio in your house? Is that's not just for auditions? That's for, you can actually get these voiceovers done. You're not going into another studio technically, right? You're doing them in your own place.
Correct. I'm doing literally everything from home, and I was so lucky because a lot of my friends that do VO didn't have this set up prior to the pandemic that we're in. So like nobody could work, which I think is also why I had so much more work. But like, because I have a pro studio, I actually have something called Source Connect, which means that anybody that wants to connect to, like, can record my microphone from anywhere in the world. They can record it live on their system.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, so like, you know, sometimes I'm recording on my own with Pro Tools, but like for big stuff, for like, you know, TV, radio, film, for big companies, like, absolutely, they need to be recording and hearing you live and, you know, doing.
Oh, wow. They're directing you, are they?
Yeah. Yep. Huh? So I basically have like a pro studio that anywhere in the world anyone can dial into and record and direct me, and it can go straight to absolutely anything.
So this this has not really affected you besides, I mean, you've just gotten more work.
I've gotten more work. I'm way busier than ever before.
So you have the exact opposite of me and Bowie's problem right now.
Gigless.
Yeah, I can't go play concerts or anything. Or, I mean, I guess I could just play drums by myself in a room, but I'm not going to get paid to do that. So I really, you got it figured out, Allison.
I mean, I'm really, I know that I'm really freaking lucky. That said, I feel like I have that complex of like when things are coming in, I want to get them all done. It's funny because I feel like I'm not able to really, I don't know, it's not like enjoy. I just feel like I'm barely keeping my head above water. But at the same time, I recognize how lucky I am that I'm in this industry and that I'm able to like make money. But I'm also like, holy moly, I am just trying to do what I need to do. And I feel like I can't get it all done.
Yeah. But yeah. You know what? A lot of people go through that in life, just in general. I know there's times where like if, you know, when things have been normal and I've been on tour a lot and I'm like, wow, people would die to be in my shoes right now, yeah, to be on tour and all this stuff. But it's like there's so other things happening where I'm like, I just need to be at home right now, yes, or I just can't totally deal with this or something. You know what I mean? Like there's everyone has those days or those moments where it's like, of course, you know, you're grateful, but we're all human. It's still, yeah, there's times where it's like, oh my God, this sucks right now. You know? So
yeah.
Get where you're coming from.
So yeah. Jess has got a drum kit to rehearse, to practice on. And so I was wondering, like, do you have to do vocal practice to keep your voice strong? I mean, at the moment, probably not actually working so much, right? But
yeah,
I mean, do you normally practice?
So honestly, no. I would definitely for singing, I would warm up and I would practice and stuff like that. And I've actually done here and there singing voiceovers, not very often. But I did have to go to speech therapy. I had some vocal nodes from, you know, abusing my vocal cords when I was in a rock band. Oh, yeah. So I went to vocal therapy and, you know, for sure learned different things I can do, exercises and ways to take care of my voice. But I mean, in regards to speaking, as long as you're speaking correctly and you're not, you know, like pushing too hard or like overusing too much. I mean, from someone like me that is used to like singing and screaming and stuff, like speaking is pretty okay. Like I don't feel strain or like too exhausted. If anything, it's just after a while when you've been at it for so long, you can't hear anymore. You're not like connected because so much of it is acting, for voice acting. Like it's very much about connecting and like you not just like cranking out random stuff and not feeling it. But so vocally, I don't actually need to warm up. I think it's much more just about being like connected and sharp with my brain.
Does this affect though, like for instance, if you knew that tomorrow you were going to be doing, you know, a voiceover for something, would this affect if you were to have like go out the night before and party? Like, do you try to? Yeah, so you tend to be good about when you know you've got to be up and your voice has to be perfect, right?
For the most part, yes. But I've absolutely been, you know, I've absolutely been, you know, dumb and gone out and was like drinking and screaming, and then the next morning I'm like super raspy, and sometimes it's cool. I absolutely remember one time my agent being like, because he knows me. I love my agents. I love everybody I work with. One of my agents is like one of my really good buddies, and he was like, Al, I know you raged last night. I can hear it, and I'm not like. And he was like, I'm not gonna yell at you because this actually sounds really good, but like. Just know that I know.
Oh my God.
Wow. So you actually got like, that was actually a good thing. You're like, well, then I'm going to go out and rage more often before I come in. Thanks.
I mean, but that said, like I said, the being sharp and feeling good is such an important part. Like I think, I mean, aside from, of course, the fear that you're going to actually not have your voice.
Ooh, yeah.
So the thing with voiceover is it's a small enough industry that if you, one, are like rude to somebody, or two, if you're like sick or not able to perform your job, they're losing money. So like you could get burned. You could, you know what I mean? Like you can really screw yourself by not being professional and not being able to show up and do the work, to the point where like getting sick, it's not okay. You can't have sick days, you know? Like they will lose thousands of dollars. Wow. And they will probably never come to you again. Even if you're legitimately sick or throwing up, or it, like I've had one time, I remember, I mean, a couple times it was bad, but one time specifically, like I had gotten super sick. I don't know if it was the flu, but I sounded super stuffy and there was like a big voiceover. Wow. And I was like, what do I do? And luckily there are these communities. There's like a, you know, communities online that I was a part of, a voiceover collective, and et cetera, where I was like, what do I do, guys? I have this huge VO. I'm completely clogged up. And everybody chimes in on like what you can do.
Whiskey.
It was like neti pot, and it was what is that spray that's like terrible for you but clears out your sinuses?
Oh, right. I don't know what it's called.
Afrin. It's called Afrin. They were giving me like all of the, like, take a hot shower, do the like saline neti pot, do the Afrin. Like everyone gave all of this stuff, and I had to do all of it because you don't have the option of being like, oh, sorry, I'm not feeling well, or I'm sound stuffy. Like, nope.
Did you recover? Did it work?
It did. It worked. I mean, I've definitely heard, you know, like throughout, obviously, I've been doing this since 2013. So over the last like 7 years, for sure, out of all the times I've been booked, sometimes I've been sick and sometimes I've had a cold. Yeah. So I've heard some VOs where I can hear a bit of a difference, but it's actually amazing what you can do with the placement of like your voice and of course with like the things that can help you. And thank goodness for communities of people that can give you tips and stuff. But
for Royal She Band, I mean, I want to be your drummer.
So you already know you are.
Dibs, everyone. No one else can take my spot. I will put their ass to try. But so tell us about it. And like, is it just like, do you envision it being a full band? Right now it is just you, correct? It is your project.
Correct. Okay. Right now it is just my project, but what I envision it to be ultimately, I mean, like what I would love for it to be, is a band of badass women. So obviously, like, you know, when I first saw you play, I was like, I'm absolutely going to work with this woman. She's such a badass drummer. Like, I just knew whatever it was going to be, like, whether it was like we just collaborate on like a song or like, you know, I hire you out to like play a show. But I just knew, I'm like, this is going to happen. You're such a badass. And like, my dream is to be able to like be able to pay amazing female musicians to like play shows and come aboard. And ultimately, if I want to like create it in the sense of like, okay, what is it? Like, what's the vibe? What's the sound? But ultimately, my dream, what I love more than anything, is to like have a band and everyone collaborate together and like create music that is like all of our souls' callings are getting emotions out and uniting people. And ultimately, I've also never done a full tour. So like, that's just something on my bucket list that I want to do like at least once in my life. You know?
Who, for you specifically, who are your biggest, if you could tour with anyone, I guess, too? Like tell us your influences and who you'd want to tour with and what you feel like the sound would want to be, like, all that stuff.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's an awesome, awesome question. And it's evolved so much. And I think that's kind of another part of the reason that I'm still kind of like figuring out what it all is. Like, my first musical influences are like, when I first moved to the US, I was obsessed with TLC. So it's like hip hop, R&B, like obsessed. And then it was like rock. It was like Evanescence. And and I've been blessed to like, you know, get to know them and like work with some of them and stuff. I love some heavy stuff. Like, I love Deftones and I love pop stuff. Like, I love Sia. I love so many different, like, even badasses, like, you know, Hole, Courtney Love. But like soul, like Alicia Keys, like, I love Billie Eilish. I've loved her since like before anybody knew about her. I like love that I can say that. And I had a band.
You did
actually
a cover, right?
That's I had removed the other thing that I released because actually it's going to be in a movie, which is the first.
Oh my God. Fuck yeah.
First song that's got a placement, which is super exciting. But yeah, so I think the only song that's out there right now is the cover of Billie Eilish's My Boy, but I did it My Girl because I'm gay.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, like, it's kind of just a mix and bringing in of all of these different elements that I love. But ultimately, like, I just really want people to like vibe and feel and connect and like get out my own emotions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Awesome. Also, I have to mention that you and I one night at Oil Can Harry's did a cover, or not a cover, sorry, it was karaoke.
Yes.
Of Alanis Morissette. So I'm like, I was hoping you were to drop some Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I love Alanis.
Influences, because I'm like.
And you know what? That I should have, because like literally Jagged Little Pill changed my life. So it was actually like probably TLC, then Alanis, and then Evanescence. So you're totally right. And we brought down the house with that cover.
Yes. Okay, are you singing?
Not me. Let's be real. I was like her hype woman. I was just in the background and she was killing it. Literally the entire fucking floor just like got like, we, you know what I mean? It was one of those karaoke things where people were like kind of vibing before, and then she gets up there and I'm kind of like behind her like, I don't know how to sing, but like she's killing it. So then I get like kind of stoked and everyone in like the room is like jumping and dancing and singing along. Like, it was
so
it was just a great experience. But
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
great.
Yeah, I'm yet to have been to Oil Can Harry's. I've heard it's amazing. And I live around the corner. So
as soon as this is done, we're all going there.
That's where we should have our celebration. Yeah.
This is a cool ass bar in Studio City. So, yes. But yeah, I haven't been there.
You're walking distance from it.
I know.
That'd be so fun.
I didn't know what it was. Like, it looked like it was a ballroom dancing place or something. I couldn't work out what it was.
I mean, it kind of does look like that, and it is that sometimes. I'm pretty sure they do ballroom dancing or something some nights like that. But
they
like,
do, like, the country dancing. But the top, they have, like, karaoke, and, like, they have so many different things.
And it's so much fun, and, like, all the people there are amazing. It's, like, a different crowd that's, like, not as – I mean, it's just, like, it's so fun. It's so much fun. We'll go there after.
Oh, we're definitely going to go there. After COVID-19, pandemic be over.
Right.
Yeah.
Please be over.
God, are you over yet? Is it done?
Yeah, you wouldn't want it to be over. You wouldn't want it to be over, right?
I want it to be. I so want it to be over. I miss my friends so much. I miss you guys so much. I miss miss my family. I miss everybody.
Yeah.
Definitely tricky.
Yeah.
Allison, one other question real quick.
Yep.
Going back to the touring and with Royal She, who would you want to tour with if you could have your dream tour? I'd say, you know, like, who would you want to? Because you've got
Alanis.
There's got to be someone.
I mean, Alanis. I would like die a million times over. That would be the greatest thing ever. Yeah. I also love Paramore. I mean, Evanescence, just because like I literally would not have ever had the balls to sing live if it wasn't for like how passionately obsessed I was with Evanescence and that first album Fallen, and the people that heard me sing to be like, oh God, you really should sing. That's actually, that album was why Alex, who was in a band and she toured, the guitar player that was in My Illusion, and she's also, you know, will always be playing in some of my stuff because she's like she's a soulmate of mine and a musical soulmate for sure.
Nice.
So yeah, like, I mean, but like, so, God, so many, like, music has been like the medicine to my soul. Like, I don't know who I would be or how I would have survived if not for music, and still, you know, like, still. Oh, and actually, speaking of musical influences and new shit, one of my old, like, favorite, all-time favorite bands, which is, I don't think they're known nearly as well as they should be known, but Snake River Conspiracy. So Toby and Mitch, Toby's the lead singer, she, like, sings and screams, and she's such a badass, and they now have a new band called Mojave Phone Booth, and when they heard this new song, Roller Coaster, the one that I actually pulled because I'm like re-editing and then they're doing a remix of it. They like did a remix. They're one of my like favorite artists in the world. We've never met in person, but we've been like linked in social media, and it blew my mind, you guys. I'll like have to send it to you. It's not released yet. We're still like tweaking it, but that was like one of the things, and I'm still dying. She said she's going to sing on a song with me, and she's literally like one of my top vocal, like favorite vocalists of all time. So
that's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't even ask for that. Like, they were inspired by the song to do it. I died. It was like the best. It is the best.
Yeah, and cool, like, name, crazy Mojave Phone
Booth.
Yeah,
what a cool name.
Phone booth. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You like everyone manifested. You must have manifested that somehow.
Honestly, like, that was one of the craziest manifesting things, because when I was in San Diego and I was obsessed with Snake River Conspiracy, I tried to find them to be able to play shows or to try to like connect, and I couldn't. And then like one day, years later, like Mitch started following me, and like the band started following me on Instagram, and I had no idea why. I was like, I don't, this is magic. Like, how did this happen? And then little by little, we just like kind of like, you know, became like friendly. And and then the fact that they literally asked for my stems for this new song, and they did this remix, and like some of my favorite sounds. All right, if you guys want to listen to like a dope ass song from like back in the day, it's a Snake River Conspiracy, Casualty. That song like got me hooked on them. And there's like this drop. Both of you guys are music lovers, so you'll love it. But like they put that sound in my remix and I died. I was like, oh my God.
No.
Wow. I need to hear this remix now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And fancy that coming from Instagram, was it?
Yes.
I mean, that
the
is
the power
crazy
of Instagram, the power of social media.
What? You hear those stories. Insane. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I got to start like using social media more to like manifest.
Yes. It. You already have a huge following. Like literally you probably can connect with anybody.
I've never tried to like draw, like I don't know if anyone will believe me. Like I'm not lying when I say this. I've never
you're
tried
too
to
cool
do
to
the
do
like I'm going to like slide into the DMs or whatever. Like I just never thought of social media that way. So yeah. I'm like, damn,
which,
like
by
when
the
I hear
way,
these stories, I'm like, I want to do that.
I was going to say, I love that about you, by the way. Like I think but seriously, like you're like one of my favorite humans, and I think it says a lot, like, you know, you're such a genuine person that you have your following because you're just such a talented badass. But I will, in the same breath, also say, I think you should absolutely connect with some cool people because I think sky's the limit. And like, especially now when everyone's kind of like, what is happening? Like, prepare for like, what is it that you want to do? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Who do you want to work with?
It's a great time to reassess where you're at, what you want to do. 100%.
Awesome. Well, yeah, let's get off this podcast so I can start just DMing a bunch of people. All right, Allison. The moment of truth. I want to hear your best voiceover acting right now.
Oh God, are you gonna give me like a
I'm gonna give you a line. Okay, so you know, have you been watching Tiger King at all?
I started it and I was like, I'm one of those people that are like too sensitive. I'm like, the animals, the people are horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to watch at first, for sure. But yeah. do you at least know some of the memes?
Yes.
Like, could you say from Carol Baskin, you know, hey, all you cool cats and kittens? But like, give us a couple different ones. Maybe one where you're angry, one where you're like, ooh, like this is a party, or one where you're like trying to be like, I killed my husband, but I don't want anyone to know.
All right, I will give that a shot. Hey, all you cats and kittens. What is the line? Hey, all you cats.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Cool cats and kittens. Cool cats and kittens.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. It's a little hard to say.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Oh, sultry.
Yes. give me like what another remote. Like,
we're about to party. Like we're about to like have
hey,
a
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Oh, isn't that incredible?
Now do one where you're like real, maybe like soft spoken and like where she like she killed her husband, I'm pretty sure, but like no one knows. So like you killed your spouse.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
That was it. You nailed it. You're Carol Baskin.
Yes. You get the job. You get the job.
Oh, man. Okay. I mean, that was just for my own pleasure. So now we can move on to the quiz.
Yeah. Now, Allison, we do this funny quiz. It's not hard at all. It's pretty much just pick your option. But it usually tells a little bit about our guests. So we love that. And the first question is dogs or cats?
Oh, fuck. Okay, so here's the thing. I have a cat, but, like, I also, like, passionately love dogs. And I actually just was asking somebody that I was dating, like, because she's got a dog and I've got a cat. And she was like, I was like, what would you call me? Because a lot of people will be like, oh, you're just a crazy cat lady. But she's like, nah, you're an animal lover. Like, you, like, really love animals. And I do. So, like, I honestly don't think I can say because I'm absolutely gonna have dogs one day. Like
tricky one.
Yeah.
What do you have right now though? You have cats, right?
Yeah. So right now I have one cat. Her name is Bella, and like for sure I adore her, but like I absolutely am gonna have a dog when I can soon.
Yeah, I love dogs.
Yeah.
I do love dogs and cats as well, but you know.
You're okay, more so dog though.
I'm definitely more dog. Yeah. I am, but I do.
Which is,
I mean,
which is
I love
great.
Cat.
Yeah.
Your cat is super fucking cute. I remember coming over to your apartment and being like, "What the? This is one of the cutest fucking cats I've ever seen."
She's pretty special. I'm not gonna lie.
She's pretty fucking cute. All right. Next question is. Whiskey or vodka?
Whiskey!
Yeah!
All the way!
Yeah! Well, yeah. Actually, Jess may not be vodka anymore. We went.
No, honestly, I don't think I'm vodka anymore after the other night of podcasting and throwing up for 3 hours. So.
I was going to say, so literally, like, vodka is the only one I can't do because I threw up, like, way too much from it when I was in my young 20s.
Yes. I had a rum issue with
gross.
Can't rum?
Touch dark rum.
Can't
dark
touch the vodka.
Oh. Mm-mm. Had a bit of a sick.
Yeah.
Our third question is beach or snow?
Beach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're both good, but if you're
I mean, I love both. Like, I love mountains and beach. That's why Cali is the best place to live. Yeah. But like, I have like a, I mean, I really love both, but if I had to pick one, I would pick beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
That's fair. Okay. So this next question, headline or opening act?
Headline.
Okay. Well, the reason we asked this is because Bowie and I feel like there's pros and cons to both. Like, it's nice to get, like, when you're opening, it's like, oh, I can get this out of the way. And then you have, like, the rest of the night to kind of chill and hang. But, of course, headlining, right? Like, you want to be the headliner. Everyone.
Yeah. I've, like, also, I think that, like, it's been fun. Like, I've gotten to, like, open up, which has been super exciting and super rad. But I've not personally experienced, well, like, headlining for, like, whatever. You're, like, CD release where there are all those people. But, like, to be actually headlining for something that's big would be like
a headline tour, right?
Yeah, that would be totally. Such a like life accomplishment, you know?
Gotcha, yeah, that's awesome. CrossFit or yoga?
You know, I'm gonna have to say yoga, and I will. I know you guys just had Betsy on. God, I love Betsy so much. So I was like, I honestly used to not be flexible at all, and be like, I could never be one of those people that do yoga. I was far more like, oh, I'd be more of those people that do CrossFit. But my knees are so jacked up. Every time I try to do CrossFit, I like kind of hurt myself. Yeah. And shout out to SendFlow. I'm obsessed. And like, you, as you, Jess, you know, because we've already gone there together. Like, they have a bunch of different classes. So like, I love a mix. But I will say, since I was young, I've been so high strung and like super emotional and super intense. And like, I remember my mom being like, you should meditate and do yoga. And I was always so mad at her. I was like, but ultimately, like, she's right. I meditate on a regular and I do yoga. And that's what, like, especially right now, that's what's been keeping my like mental health in check. Yeah. I will do yoga. I will literally like feel like I'm about to lose it and do a yoga class like online that I'm streaming from home. And I will feel so much better.
Wow, that is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We agree. Like, it's been a savior exercise during this period. Yes.
Yeah, really any type of exercise. Just getting your body moving is good for your mental health. And that's exactly why I started like loving CrossFit. Was it was essentially like my therapy. You know what I mean? It was like once I got like really just focusing on it and getting my sweat on and all that, it was like
And the
same with going to, you're right though, Set and Flow is actually, I love going to Set and Flow because there are so many different styles of classes too, which is great. So it's like, I know CrossFit is like one specific, like if you go, it's like that's CrossFit. But when you go to Set and Flow, you've got like the cycling, you've got the HIIT classes, you've got yoga, hot yoga, Pilates, all that stuff. So I do love the gym that you go to.
I cannot wait to be able to get back, right?
yeah, for sure.
We love you, Set and Flow.
I know. Set and Flow, can I have some free classes, please?
Well, sponsorship.
Right.
Sponsored by Set and Flow. There we go. I'll do the voiceover for it.
Do the voiceover. I'm just going to beg. Okay. And the last question would be, so what would be on your personal rider? Like what you would want backstage? On tour. If you want examples, I, at the time, before I threw up from vodka, I said I wanted like a bottle of vodka, case of water, some sugar-free Red Bulls, like a fruit tray, a veggie tray, maybe some like peanut butter and jelly and bread.
Didn't you say you wanted it all white, or was that someone else? No, that was Melissa. Melissa wanted it all
Melissa
white.
Melissa said all white. Yes. Yeah. She said all white would be amazing. Betsy asked for, she wanted a massage every night.
Ooh. So like
So this is literally, if you could have anything that you wanted, like I would just put a dog also for sure. I want a dog in the backstage.
Oh my God. Puppies.
Yeah. Puppies. Oh, like at least one, but yeah, puppies.
Okay. So I definitely would want some Jack Daniels. I would want some like, so Jack Daniels, Coke Zero or Diet Coke with lime. I know that's not like the healthiest thing, but it's just like nostalgic from my like rock and band days. I just want that there. I'm also obsessed with those like Celsius drinks that are like, they're like energy drinks, but they're like healthier or something. I don't know. I really like them. So I would definitely want like an array of those ones. Definitely some lots of water. I like to stay hydrated. Agreed. Some like fruit, some peanut butter or almond butter. I mean, puppies would be great.
Yes, I know, right? Right?
And like a massage or like a masseuse would be pretty epic. And maybe like a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Great one. That
do
is
some
a really
like yoga, some breathing and meditation.
Someone's a stretch person. Like someone stretches. That'd be
Like a yoga teacher that's like a yoga meditation and stretchers. That would be that can massage you too. Like just that one person that does all of those things.
Yeah. That's
I need to add that to mine. I love this. I'm just gonna keep adding things to my writers from now on.
Like yours is like yours is like an actual thing that's gonna happen. You're like next tour, you're like, this is what I need.
No, it's not actually gonna happen. I don't get a fucking masseuse. I fucking wish. Like maybe I'll get a bag of Cheetos. Like Jesus Christ.
Jess, who knows, man? We're the royal she. We're going to take over the world. You can get your puppies and your masseuse.
You're going to get your yoga teacher. I'll get my CrossFit teacher. Like, I just need, you know what I mean? Like, we'll
hell yeah.
We'll have it all.
Well, thanks so much, Allison. You've been so, so cool and so interesting to speak to. Like, the voiceover land's an area that a lot of us don't know about. So do you want to give us your Instagrams and your website and stuff?
Absolutely. So at Allison DJF, AllisonDJF. And then my website is just AllisonFreed.com, which is AllisonFreed. And I love you guys. I'm stoked that you're doing this. I can't wait to like listen to all of these.
Yes. Thank you for doing it. No, you've been amazing. This was so fun.
So fun.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.